All righty, let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 9, please. All righty, so let's begin reading with verse 10. And so it was, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Let us pray. Gracious Father, once again, we thank you for your word. We humble our hearts, we open our hearts to your word, Father, and help us to learn what it is to have mercy, that you desire mercy, not sacrifice. For you have come to call, Lord, the sinners and not the righteous to repentance. We give you thanks for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, I want us to begin with an image of Home Alone. Who has watched Home Alone, the first movie? Who loves Home Alone? How can you, with Kevin, how can you not love Home Alone? Now, I there's many scenes, many quotes that I love about that movie. My personal favorite is "you low-lying yellow belly," you know. Remember, he's playing this DVD of this old black and white gangster movie, and then he said, "Leave the money," you know, there. And then so the pizza guy who's delivering a pizza, he takes the money, and then this kid plays the "keep the change, you filthy animal." That's my favorite scene. Anyway, I love this movie, but to be honest with you, my favorite scene is that "keep the change," but this one is just right up there with the other one, and that is when this kid, Kevin, whose family accidentally left him behind in his home as they were off on vacation. And this guy was supposed to be the dreaded neighbor, the scary dude, but he wasn't. He's a human being like all of us. And they're meeting at church. And the reason why this gentleman is at church is because he's not allowed to see his granddaughter. And so his granddaughter is practicing in the choir, and they're both talking. And Kevin says, "Well, why don't you go talk to your family?" "Well, you know, they've brushed me off. They've denied me." And so they have this little dialogue, this little conversation about very personal things that are close to both of their hearts. And you know what I love about that the most is that what context is this conversation of very personal matters taking place in? Taking place in the church. Now this morning I want to entitle my message, "Safe Place." Safe Place. The church is a safe place, or it should be. You know, I love the old song that Elvis Presley sang. Take your problems where? Take your problems to the chapel. Thank you, Miss Linda. Take your problems to the chapel. Now, isn't that great? Isn't that a great thought? Now, I have personally been in church services where the worship leader gets up and he says, "All right, people, I hope you checked out all your problems at the door, because now we're here to praise the Lord. We're here to worship God." And I'm thinking, is that truly worship? Am I supposed to leave my problems at the door? And I've got to all of a sudden put on a facade, put on a smile, and pretend like everything's hunky-dory now? That is not worship. As I read my Bible, I see people in their lowest, coming to God in their lowest and worshiping God in their lowest. What about that publican? He was a sinner. He was a traitor, like a tax collector was. And he was at the temple, and he felt so awful about his sins, and he couldn't even look up to heaven. He was beating his chest and saying, "God," looking down, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus said, contrasted that one sinner in total humility with the self-righteous Pharisee that said, God, I thank you that I'm not like that scum over there. You know, I tithe twice a week and I give this and I all this and that. And Jesus said, who went home justified that day? Not the quote unquote good dude. It was the sinner who worshiped God with his present reality. Amen? Isn't that what church really should be? Isn't that what church really should be? You know, church family, I have a passion to see the church like a hothouse, a greenhouse of love of Jesus, where people who come in here can come, as the hymn says, just as I am. Are we mature in Jesus Christ to handle that as a church? I believe that we should resemble Jesus. In the text that we read, who was it that gathered to eat with Jesus? Publicans, the tax collectors. These were notorious guys. These were crooked guys. That's what church is about. Real people with real struggles, with real sin, real weaknesses. Because, after all, who goes to see the doctor? The sick people. Do people that are healthy, do the Arnold Schwarzeneggers in their prime, do the Usain Bolts go see the doctor for healing? No, they're the picture of health. They might go for checkups. They're the picture of health. Who is it that go to the doctor? Those who need, who are on a lifeline. Those who need emergency care. Those who need prompt care. Those who need serious medical attention ASAP. Now, that is no different than a church. A church, church family, is a spiritual hospital. I'm going to illustrate it. You know, one time I was at a board meeting. I had not used the evangelism budget money. And so I decided to advertise in one of the most occupied restaurants in F, like a local establishment. And so I decided to, on their paper mats, put a quarter of a page advertisement of our church to reach out and invite people. And I'll never forget it, church family. I was sitting there and some guy, I mean, he was always the guy that poo-pooed every idea. The guy that doused everything. And I'll never forget, he was a shorter guy. He was sitting at the table and he had his arms crossed. He was sitting and he said, I have issues with us advertising our church in an establishment that serves alcohol. I was hotter. I was mad. I was also young and dumb. I was in my mid-30s, and I piped up. I should have kept quiet. Now I would probably just keep quiet. But I said, you know what? And I was kind of like that in your face. I said, you know what? I hope we go into the crack dens where people are addicted to crack and advertise about the love of Jesus. Now, church family, really? Is that the vibe that we want to send out into the community? No, we don't. We don't advertise because you guys drink alcohol. Man, I pray we advertise in the alcohol recovery programs. How many of you know they need Jesus too? Right? Are you feeling me, church family? Are you with me? Are you agreeing with me? Can I hear an amen collectively, please?
Amen.
Thank you. Because the church, church family, listen, the church is not a hall of fame for saints. It would be empty. They might have a small, you know, 5x8 photograph of Billy Graham and Mother Teresa, and that's it. Thank you. Are you with me? Are you with me? How many of you like having fun at church? Amen. But that really irked me. Can I make a mention of a truth here that we can all agree on? How many of you know that some people love God? They're on their way to heaven, but they have no clue And that dude there in that board meeting, that brother, he loved God. I'm not questioning his love for God. He's on his way to heaven. But he has no clue. And I hope Jesus meets him at the gates and said, you know what? You should have listened to that preacher. He was right. And I'll be like in the background, remember me? How do you like me now? Church ought to be a place of acceptance. The 12-step programs are unbelievably effective because of this one point. They accept people where they are. Don't you think the church ought to be just as effective as they are? But it seems like we're behind the eight ball because the church is not a safe place for anybody. So church ought to be a place of, number one, belonging. Number two, what was number two? Community. Number three, acceptance. And number four, accountability. What do I mean by accountability? Well, we loved you. We'll love you as you are, but we'll love you as you are so you can keep growing in Jesus. Amen. We're not here to celebrate your sin, baby. You got quiet all of a sudden. Are we here? Are we like, we're going to rubber stamp your sin? We're going to, yay, more power to you. Jesus loves you. Go out and sin. Is that what Jesus says? No. Go forth and sin no more. It is a place of accountability that I'll lovingly watch over you so that if you mess up, I'll be there for you, but I'll be there to support you so you can do a little better next time. This is good teaching. So I'll be there for you. I will. Good, bad, rainy days, terrible days, or whatever. I'll be there for you because I love you and I want to make sure your walk with Jesus is solid and strong. Amen? You know, I just want to interject here. Last Sunday evening, I felt like we had a really special service and it can't be caught. I'm not listening. See my heart, church family. If you weren't here, I'm not trying to rub it in. But it cannot. That's something, what I felt happening on Sunday evening here, it was like an element where the Holy Spirit gave us such freedom to acknowledge that, you know what, I can be wishy-washy in my walk with God. And I felt like there for a moment, there was a canopy of God's grace where we all felt secure in Jesus to raise our hands and say, you know what, I still struggle today. But I know the Savior loves me. I feel that's a breakthrough. Oh, that every church would have that in the fellowship. Amen? That's what I love. Now, so church is a safe place, or it should be. You know, I once had, I mentioned this a couple of Sunday nights ago, and I want to mention it again because it that was one of those, you know, on occasion you'll have encounters with people that's like a real wake-up call. And this happened in 2014. In fact, I was boarding a flight in Peoria to fly from Peoria to Hartsfield in Atlanta, apparently the supposed largest airport in the world. And I had a connecting flight to Atlanta to Boston so that I could go back to Boston and finish my race in 2014. And I remember I was on a plane from Peoria to Atlanta, and there was this lady sitting next to me. And, you know, I try to keep to myself, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to talk to her. Oh, that's nice. I said, I'm a pastor. And she said, oh. And then she kind of kept to herself and she took her phone out and I'm just kind of. And she scrolled and her screen on her phone, she had a bigger phone, was what I thought to be at the moment. I thought she was Roman Catholic because it appeared to be like the Virgin Mary of Guadalupe in Mexico. That's like the mother of Jesus that they venerate, the Mexicans' version of the mother of Jesus, and they just about worship her as much as they do Jesus, if not a little more, at least from my limited Roman Catholic experience. So I asked her, I said, Miss, I see you're probably Roman Catholic because that is the Virgin Mary, right? And she said, oh, no. She said, that's a Hindu god. I said, what? I let her talk. You know, I'm just listening. Just how many of you know, church family, most of evangelism takes place when you listen. We have less listening today and too much talking. We were talking and she said, yeah, she said, I went to a very judgmental church. And she began to tear up. And she said that they shamed her. They belittled her. They condemned her as a kid in church. And she said, the sad part is I saw through all of their hypocrisy. I saw through their lives, and their lives were not any better. And she said, I just said, forget it. I'm going to go worship a God that doesn't judge me. And she said, and we in Hinduism have billions of gods. By this time, I'm like, oh my. I opened a can of worms. But, you know, I'm praying within myself. As I'm listening, I'm praying within myself. I said, Lord, you got to help me to help her. Lord, you got to help me to help her. Because I really don't think she opened her heart just to share. You got to help me to help her, Lord. And so anyway, so I'm praying. And then all of a sudden, we commence descent into Atlanta. And I don't know what to say. You know, I honestly, I'm at a point that I did share with Jesus. I apologized on behalf of her church. Pastor Joe, why'd you do that? Because as a believer, I think we can vicariously apologize on behalf of the stupidity of other believers. Amen? And I said, I'm very sorry. And I said, miss, they grossly misrepresented the Lord Jesus Christ to you. And they owe you an apology. And so I was sitting there and I had nothing. I had been praying and the plane's kind of descending. And she turns to me and she says, you know, I don't think that people meet each other by accident. She said, I believe that you and I were supposed to meet each other today. And I thought, there's the open door. And I said, so what's your takeaway, ma'am? She said, very humbly, she said, I need to go back to Christ. Wow. How cool, church family, would it be if church was always a safe place? That no matter where we're at in our stretch with the Lord, Sister Nola, I thank you for saying that about this past week, because that's what it's been like for me spiritually, attack after attack. And I'm thinking, Lord, what is happening? I appreciate that. I pray, church family, that we can come to church and say, man, I, the devil and I had an unbelievable go around. You know, I may be in shreds spiritually, but I'm still here in God's house. Amen. You know what, church family, I'm going to close on this note. I'm going to be honest. I had other scripture and I just went with the flow. Is that okay? If I went with the flow, when I stand before the Lord, I don't want to stand before the Lord with a shining armor. I want my armor to be dented, to be scratched, to have demon guts all over it. Because then the Lord knew that I was engaged in the battle. And I pray that as fellow warriors, we can come to church as a safe place and say, you know, man, I had a whale of a skirmish or a battle with the enemy, but I'm still here. Amen? All right, how many of you were blessed by the teaching of God's word this morning? Let's give the Lord a good hand clap. Hallelujah. All righty, let's pray and then we're going to have a closing song. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather together just as we are without one plea, Lord. And Father, as your word says, if you begin to make record of our sins, no one could stand. None could survive, Lord. So we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord, that we can come to your house and be real and be honest and be open and be accepted and loved and have a feeling of belonging in spite of it or through it all. And we're thankful for this. To you be all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.